My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Imagine this. You're a woman of a certain age. You've enjoyed a very successful career, have a wonderful family, and the flow of life seems just perfect. Suddenly, your career is no more, and you begin to doubt yourself and whether at your certain age you have the wherewithal to start anew. At your lowest point, something mystical and wonderful happens, and it opens your mind and heart to the realization that you can lift yourself up and fly once again. The story I just shared was lived by my guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Wendy Knox. Wendy was an award-winning creative director at one of the largest advertising agencies in Los Angeles, but like many of us at midlife, her soul was longing for something more. Suddenly, at age 50, she lost her job and began questioning whether she was too old to reinvent her life. She asked the universe for a sign, and she got it. Wendy shares her experience through her uplifting blog, creative workshops, inspirational speeches, and private sessions. She's a regular contributor to Maria Shriver's Architects of Change and was featured on Rita Wilson's Voice of Strength series on the Huffington Post. Wendy is grateful for her husband, Will, her son, Landon, fur baby, Blossom, and the magic of living in beautiful Ojai, California. She joins me this week to share her story and her just-published book, From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Wendy Knox.
Hi, Victor. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So wonderful for you to join us. And, you know, we were connected by synchronicity a couple of weeks ago. I received an invitation to like your new page on Facebook and thought you'd be a wonderful guest that we had never connected or met before. And when I messaged you, you were surprised to hear from me saying that you had just launched the page that day. Are you a believer in synchronicity and magic connection?
Oh, definitely. I think whenever I start getting into my logic head, my life doesn't work so well. But when I allow the signs to emerge and follow the voice of my heart, all kinds of crazy, wonderful, magical things happen, like now, meeting you.
Absolutely. Now, you're a creative person, and there's a lot of thought about left brain and right brain and the sides of the brain that affect not only creativity, but also intuition and empathy and that type of thing. Do you see yourself in that way?
Oh, yes. Well, I think, you know, in my past life, in my job, I had to be in the, which is the logical brain.
The logical brain is supposed to be the left side, and the creative side is the right side.
I had to operate, I was a creative director, but I also had to manage people and clients and a lot of business for accounts like Honda and Acura. So I had a pretty good balance going, but I feel like my natural proclivity as a writer and an artist and somebody who lives in an intuitive way is the right side of my brain. I think the challenge is always to keep them balanced, and I have to walk on the earth a lot to stay balanced, because I think left to my own devices, I'd be up in the clouds all day.
You and me both. I think we're both from that same cast. Now, please share with us about your early path and career and how you found yourself in the wonderful world of advertising.
Well, ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to write and paint, actually create things that touch people's hearts. And I know that doesn't really fit with what most people think about advertising, but advertising is a way to get messages out into the world and to connect with hearts and minds. So I was always attracted to the creative way of getting messages across. And when I was in my early 20s, I read an article about this school called Advertising Center, which kind of taught you how to do advertising in a creative way. And it spoke to me. And as soon as I started taking classes at night, It was like, oh my God, this is what I'm meant to do. And I started, my first job happened with great synchronicity. I was working in a store in Beverly Hills, creating gift packages for people. And a woman came in and asked me to make some gifts for the people in her department. And I don't know what possessed me to say this, but I said, is your name Joan Levine? And I knew of this woman who owned the only women-owned advertising agency in LA. And she goes, yes, how do you know that? And I said, I don't know. I just had a feeling. And I told somebody, I better do a really good job on this because I have a feeling I'm going to work for her. I ended up having 30 interviews to be a junior copywriter, and the last one was with her, and she hired me on the spot. So intuition and creativity merged in that moment.
How did you feel when that happened? Did you sense that it was magical?
I did. I just felt that there are forces. Well, I believe that we have thoughts and we transmit our thoughts kind of like a radio station or a lighthouse. And we send out these messages into the world and like attracts like, or, you know, certain beings, certain souls, certain circumstances are meant to coalesce. And this was one of those moments. I started that job writing the packages for Top Ramen Noodles. And over my career, I rose up from that to being the only senior vice president, creative director, the only female senior vice president, creative director at one of the biggest advertising agencies in LA.
So even in your 20s, you had that sense of that connection, that empathic, intuitive sense of connection.
I did. I used to fight it a lot more than I do now. In those days, for instance, I got engaged to be married and married at 22 years old. And during my engagement, this voice inside said, this is a big mistake. And I didn't listen to it and ended up getting divorced in less than a year. So now I really listen to that voice. And I call it the voice of my heart. And it's often at war with the voice of my head, which is the one that's got all the shoulds and have tos and ought tos. But these days, the heart wins because she seems to lead me to the right places.
Absolutely. So you had this highly successful career, a wonderful marriage, not the bad first one, but a wonderful marriage and a son. And then approaching age 50, your soul was longing for something more. What was it longing for?
Well, in order to go to work, it was a very masculine paradigm where I worked. Our biggest accounts were Acura and Honda. And I, like I said, I was the only female at this level. Most of the women who had children were more like support staff. And most of the women in big positions didn't have a husband or a child. So I kind of had it all. And I felt that there were parts of me that wanted to express themselves as, you know, I won a lot of awards. I had an incredible salary and wonderful perks. But I was sitting around talking about cars, you know, like rocker panels and V6, V8 engines. And to be honest, I'm not very passionate about cars. I had a very creative job. I mean, I got to shoot commercials with the Academy Award-winning Coen Brothers and animated Keith Haring's artwork and shot with William Wagman, you know, the dogs dressed up driving a Honda minivan. I mean, it was really, really creative, but I kept feeling like I was meant to uplift and inspire people with words and images that came more from spirit, more from my soul. And it was tricky because I was so successful, I couldn't really afford to quit on my own. And then the universe intervened.
Well, that's my next question. Then how did you lose your position? What happened?
Well, I started to feel like there were things going on behind my back. I just had this sense. And I went to my boss and I said, is my job secure? Because at that time, I was helping to support my parents. And also my husband, who is definitely my soulmate, is an entrepreneur, which I call French for no health plan. So we needed my job. We needed it very badly. My son was in private school. We had a lot of responsibilities. And so I asked my boss, is everything okay? I'm just feeling like something is going on. And one thing that was going on was one of my clients, I think, kind of resented me or was competitive with me. So I got moved to a different position. And then it turns out the agency was having all kinds of cutbacks and problems. And I kept saying, is my job secure? I have so much on my shoulders. And nobody gave me an honest answer. So one day I just got laid off. And they wanted me to act like I was choosing to quit because it would look better to the outside world. But the truth was they were cutting back and I had a big salary. And I felt like there was some ageism and sexism and other isms running in there as well. It was a shock to my system and I would have much rather been told so I could have been more prepared. But it ended up being a blessing in the end.
My guest is Wendy Knox. She's the author of From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. We'll be back with more of Wendy after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Wendy Knox. We're talking about her book, From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. So, Wendy, you got laid off. At age 50, you actually asked the universe for a change, and perhaps sometimes they say be careful what you ask for because you're going to get it. But do you think really that you sort of put that energy out and that resulted in your losing your position?
Well, maybe on some deep soul level, because I was in meetings and in situations where, in fact, I did a painting of this in which I saw myself as executwoman with a big red zipper across my mouth. I was in meetings and I drew this during one meeting because I was actually told that my clients preferred the kind of women that were geisha girls, and they really didn't want to hear from me. So I was told to take a back seat to my partner. It was a very demeaning and diminishing thing for me. And I felt sort of enslaved because I was so successful. So I do believe as I started painting and started opening myself up to different forms of expression, that my soul kind of choreographed this this opera in which I dramatically lost my job and found myself sobbing in my backyard.
From a practical standpoint, this must have been a little bit of a shock to your system at the time, right?
Oh, complete shock. Like I said, I was helping to support my parents. My husband is an entrepreneur. I had a job. I used to call myself Don Draper, but without the cocktails or the martinis. I mean, it was big job with all kinds of benefits. So it was shocking. It was really shocking. And not just financially, but kind of when you've been on a certain track, a very focused track for so long, it's kind of like, who am I without this job? You know, what am I about? What am I meant to do? I mean, on one hand, I felt like a kid that just got out of school for summer vacation. But on the other hand, I felt a sense of dread and fear and worry and just devastation, really.
You talked about two things before. Number one, this was at age 50. And you were also talking about how, and I assume this was in the early to mid 90s that this all took place, that you were talking about being expected to be compliant and quiet and listen to your clients and so on. Was that the attitude in general in business at that point?
Well, at our company, you know, it was a very big coveted account and they'd had it for a long time. And there were certain, I was used to creative people who spoke up for their work. And, you know, I was very respectful, but I believed in listening and then saying, I understand your standpoint, but what about this? We think blah, blah, blah. And the powers that be did not operate that way. They were more about just kind of bending over backwards to please. And I felt because I had a department full of people that had worked months and months and months on something, and we had really good reason for going in that direction, I felt that the idea and the clients at least deserved an explanation. You know, can I just share this way of thinking with you? And that was dismissed and frowned upon in that culture. That's not the case in every advertising agency I worked in, but it was in that one. And being a woman doing it was worse.
In general, do you think that today, in when women are in these types of positions, and not just in advertising, but in business in general, that there's a greater amount of respect offered and a greater amount of input?
I want to hope so. I really do. I mean, when I watched Mad Men, and, you know, that was in the 60s and 70s, I have to say a lot of the sexism and biases I saw against women, I experienced, but, you know, I have not been in a corporate structure for 10, 15 years now. I do still do branding and copywriting for clients, but on a consulting basis. And I choose very carefully who I work for and, you know, if it's something I resonate with. So it's a different situation. I want to believe it's changed, but I think, you know, the kind of those patriarchal belief systems and structures are pretty firmly ensconced, and it takes a lot of work to shift them.
So you had lost your position. You were really struggling in your mind as to how you were going to create the income to support your family and your parents and so on. And you asked for a sign from the universe, and something very magical happened. How did that manifest for you?
It was really one of the wildest, best days of my life. I was sitting in my backyard crying and, you know, asked the universe, am I too old to reinvent myself? Please give me a sign. And I went for a walk with my dog, Lucky, and I came home. And my backyard was filled with hundreds of red dragonflies. They were reddish-orange dragonflies whirling and swirling above me like a dragonfly ballet. It was so beautiful. And the crazy thing was I didn't have a pond. I didn't have a pool. I didn't have any water. I'd never seen dragonflies in that color, kind of a reddish-orange, just gorgeous. And they stayed for 4 hours the first day and came back 3 more days. It was not like, and I was so astonished. I got my neighbor, Julie, to come over. She was a lawyer and much more logical than me. And I said, Julie, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because maybe I'm hallucinating. And then I did what any sane person would do. I Googled dragonflies to find out what the heck was going on. And I was amazed to learn that dragonflies spend most of their lives crawling at the bottom of a pond up to 4 years. And they go through all these changes, letting go of old skin, growing new skin, up to 15 times over 4 years. And then one seemingly random day, the dragonfly climbs out of the pond, and in the sunlight, her wings unfurl and she flies off. So it turns out the whole time she was stuck in the muck at the bottom of the pond, she was growing her magic and doesn't even fly until later in life. So I asked for a sign and I got the most beautiful, relevant, uplifting metaphor you could ask for.
Now, for those who might be doubters, let's just, you know, backtrack for a second. You said you had never seen dragonflies of that color before. Had you seen dragonflies in your yard before?
Not really. I didn't have a lot of dragonflies. And honestly, this sounds silly, but I wasn't really a dragonfly person. I was more into butterflies and ladybugs and hummingbirds. I hadn't really seen many dragonflies, except for if I was at a pond or something. But these were big, fat, reddish-orange dragonflies, and they were in mass. And the crazy thing, but as if that wasn't crazy enough, I started to see them everywhere I went. I lived in LA, and you know, there's a lot of freeways. I saw dragonflies flying across my windshield on the 405 freeway, the 10 freeway, the 101. I'd be walking on Hollywood Boulevard or Rodeo Drive or Sunset Boulevard. There were dragonflies just about everywhere I went. And finally, my husband and I were on vacation up in Ojai, which is where I live now, walking across the grass to go to lunch. And there was another swarm of dragonflies. And I said to my husband, I said, I know this sounds crazy, but I think those dragonflies are trying to recruit me. I think they know I'm a writer and a branding expert, and I think they want me to get their story out into the world. So I took the assignment. That's what I'm doing right now.
That's such a wonderful story. So what was the lesson of the dragonflies? You had mentioned about being in the muck and emerging. What else did you learn from the dragonflies?
Well, I learned, I believe one of their messages was, it's never too late to soar. I mean, when we think of the dragonflies, we think of their iridescent, beautiful wings, and we don't know that that's the grand finale of their lives. That's, you know, they only live a short period of time once they start soaring like that. They spend most of their lives submerged at the bottom of the pond, and they look like kind of creepy, crawly, nondescript insects. So the fact that I believe they were saying to me, it's never too late. You're worried about your age and this, and, you know, here's this message to help it fly out into the world and uplift and inspire others. Also, I've learned a lot of things about dragonflies. You know, who knew, but dragonflies are the only insect that flies in all directions. So they go forwards, backwards, up and down. And I think that's a really interesting way of looking at our lives. You know, in the advertising world, everything was in these sequences. Like, you'd come up with an idea, you'd sell the commercial, you'd make the, you'd, you know, shoot it, produce it, edit it. Everything was in a linear form. And I believe the more I've allowed the intuitive and the mystical to come into my life, life is much more fluid and kind of out of order. So certain things, for instance, my book, the first painting in my book is something I did 10 years ago. I didn't know when I came up with that painting it would be the beginning of a book. Things came to me out of order. And, you know, lots of times we try to judge our progress. But I think one of the lessons of the dragonfly is not to think in that way, but to allow life to take us in all these different directions and to trust that they're all leading somewhere.
And they also hover.
Yes, they do. They hover. They another thing I learned about them, when they're down in the muck, they eat like 20 times their weight in food. I always say it's like an all-you-can-eat Las Vegas buffet down there. But what that says to me is when we're in the muck, when we're going through difficult times, to nourish ourselves, to feed ourselves, you know, I always say that the only way out of the muck is to go into it, to allow ourselves to surrender to kind of the darkness and the difficulties and the sadness and the grief, because that's where we are getting our nutrients to grow our magic. So I've looked
the muck to change. Into the muck to change your luck, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
My guest is Wendy Knox. She's the author of From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. Wendy, please share with our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Well, you can get my book at my website. That's probably the best way. It'll link you to my publisher and it'll link you to the ebook on Amazon. So just go to my website, and it's Wendy with an I, W-E-N-D-I, Knox, K-N-O-X. So my website is wendyknox.com, and remember, it's Wendy with an I. My mother didn't name me that way, but I always had to be different. And that's the best way to get my book. And I have a hardback, and I have an ebook, and I think the Dragonflies approved of both versions.
Wonderful. And we'll be back with more of Wendy and Muck to Magic after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Wendy Knox, and she's the author of From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. So before the break, we were talking about you had this magical and mystical and wonderful experience with these dragonflies, these orange, reddish dragonflies in your yard who were awakening you to a new sign from the universe. So how did that event change not only your life, but your perspective?
Well, honestly, I felt like they gave me their mission. I felt that their story from the muck to the magic was a paradigm shifting idea that I was meant to share with others. There's so many times when life happens and we feel depressed or down or overwhelmed, and we fight that impulse in ourselves. And, you know, society tells us, put on a happy face, get on with it. And I felt that what these dragonflies were teaching me was to embrace the time in the muck and to trust that something magical was growing there. And I felt that their story could become one of those stories that's woven into our culture, like the butterfly and transformation, or, you know, the tortoise and the hare, stories that people tell each other to get through life's challenges. And I had this sense that as a storyteller for brands, I was meant to share this story with others. And that's what I set out to do. I wanted to create a book or something to share the story, but life is so fascinating. I got this sense of my mission and this vision of what I should do with it. And then I found myself back in some pretty dark muck, facing my only child's addiction. So I was ready to move on, but then life happened and I had to allow myself to feel the grief, the fear, the worry, the doubt, and all the feelings that come along when a loved one is struggling with addiction. And it was very frustrating, but the dragonfly metaphor helped me deal with it, to allow myself the freedom to feel and to be and not do so much, because there was so much out of my control. But I spent a lot of time meditating, walking barefoot on the grass, breathing, yoga. And I believe that that time in the muck kind of grew where I am now. And now I feel like I have much more to say to people through my book, through my writing, through my speaking and my art.
How important was this concept of surrendering at that time?
Well, it was essential, because anybody who loves an addict or a child or someone else knows everyone has their own journey and their own path. And, you know, in AA, they say you have to take care of your own side of the road. And it's tricky when it's your child. But I had to, you know, learn to speak my truth and envision the best for him, but set boundaries and become what I call the warrior mother from hell. I had to show my love in ways that are very counterproductive to what you think is being a loving mother. And it was a lot of time in the muck. It was a very, very difficult time, but I feel that my son has grown his magical wings, and so have I, as a result of what we all went through as a family.
Did you face other challenges besides your son's problem?
Well, you know, addiction kind of shines a light on everything. I mean, there's new ways to navigate your marriage. There's different ways of learning about love. I used to say to him, I love you so much, I don't care how much you hate me. You know, it turns your whole world upside down. And I was frustrated because I had been given this gift of this dragonfly metaphor, which I felt compelled to share. And I felt my own creativity grounded. I just could not be creative in the on demand the way I was used to. I needed to let go and trust that that expression would come at the right time. And it has.
And what about finding love for yourself within yourself?
That was the biggest challenge. In fact, I say that my book is a poetic journey from the muck of self-doubt to the magic of self-love. And like I said in the beginning, I've always been very intuitive, but it wasn't always easy to trust that or to love myself through that. There were lots of voices of self-doubt and fear and worry, and, you know, a lot of, like, even as I would step forward and working on this book and the art, you know, voices in my head like, who do you think you are? You're not a real artist, you're not a real writer. Just a lot of conditioning and a lot of self-doubt and fear. So my journey has definitely been from the muck of self-doubt to the magic of self-love. And I believe it's a journey that we all go on. And it's not like there's an end in sight. It's layer upon layer of peeling the onion and learning to love ourselves more and more.
Absolutely. Share with us the creative journey in the book.
Well, it was fascinating because I didn't want the book just to be about me, even though we're talking about me and my story right now. I wanted to take what I'd learned from the dragonflies and make it relevant to other women, especially. And I wasn't sure how. So I did what seems to work for me. I asked the universe, how can I share this story in a way that will uplift and inspire others? And for a long time, nothing came. But when I kind of surrendered to the muck and the emptiness, I was sitting at my desk one day and the words to a poem just flew into my head. It felt like a download from the universe or the dragonflies or somebody. And I got these amazing words all in one fell swoop, which became the foundation of my book. And once I, and it starts, I'll just tell you the beginning. Have you ever been stuck, so stuck in the muck with the yuck and the guck that you thought, what the muck? And it goes from there. And I wanted to do paintings to illustrate the poem and found a teacher in nearby Ventura who teaches you how to connect with your inner muse. I've always been what I call an intuitive artist, not really trained. It's more about connecting with the creative flow. But it was wonderful to be in a class where I got support for that and learned more techniques for connecting within. And I would set the intention, because the first part of the book is all about the self-doubt and the fear and the worry. And I would set the intention, you know, how do I paint self-doubt? How do I paint the voices in my head or whatever? And those paintings just came through me. And then it moved into the light of self-love and sort of this process of self-love and nurturing and giving to oneself. And the same thing happened. How do I paint self-love? And a painting would come through me. I did like 30 paintings. And it was so crazy. When I got the last painting in the book done, the teacher announced that she was moving. And I felt like almost the universe or the dragonflies had sent her to me to help midwife this book. And her work was done. She was off to a new assignment. And I had my book.
Your artwork and illustrations are amazing and beautiful and not unlike a delightful children's book for an adult audience. Did you draw upon your inner child for a lot of that inspiration?
Yes. I don't think I've ever outgrown that part of myself. I've always loved children's art, children's books, and I feel because this is a message to really bypass the brain and get into our hearts and our souls and our psyches, it felt right that it was in that style, you know. And some people's favorite poets are Barrett or Browning. Mine was always Dr. Seuss. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the energy of what came through. And I feel like we're living through such chaotic times with so many messages coming at us all the time. That's sort of the simplicity and the purity of the message through a more child, inner child type of lens was the way to share this story. Because you can't logic this. It needs to come in through the heart. And that is what I believe this book was in service of.
And I think that it's so important that people, especially people who have gone past the age of 50 or later in life in their 50s and 60s and even their 70s, need to reconnect with that childlike energy in us, because I think that's what keeps us young, keeps us going, and keeps us inspired to grow.
Absolutely. You know, I moved to this, my husband and I moved to this area outside of LA about an hour and a half called Ojai, and it's a very magical place. And a lot of artists have come here through the ages, and people will say to me, oh, did you move there to retire? But the truth is, I feel like I'm just getting started. I feel younger and more vibrant now than I ever have because I feel like I've really found my mission and my passion. And it's so exciting to share it with others and to see people moved and touched and inspired and uplifted by this book.
I must say that I turned 66 in January, and I couldn't agree with you more about feeling that resurgence of youth-like energy and the drive to create things and put things out in the world that will be of help and benefit to other people. And I especially love teaching in my day job in the industry that I work in, the young people who are coming in that business and sharing the 40 years that I have trapped in my brain and sharing it with them and bringing them along. So I totally understand it. Reminds me of the lyric from one of the Moody Blues albums. The song was called Through the Eyes of a Child. And through the eyes of a child, you must come out and see that your world's spinning round, and through life you must be a small part of a hope, of a love that exists. Through the eyes of a child you will see.
That's beautiful. I wonder, should I share the rest of the poem from my book?
Absolutely, but we're going to take our segment break, and when we come back, you'll do that for us, will you?
Yeah, now that you did that.
Here you go. My guest is Wendy Knox. She's the author of From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. We'll be back with more of Wendy after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Teens in foster care will love you, even if you don't know the lingo.
Dad bod. Noun. The result of the occasional donut always washed down with confidence.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Wendy Knox. She's the author of From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. And we were waxing poetic at the end of the last segment, and you said that you were going to share with us the full poem that came to you. Please do.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, it started. Have you ever been stuck, so stuck in the muck with the yuck and the guck that you thought, what the muck? You're crawling down there through the fears and the tears, the couldas, the shouldas, and how'd I get here's. Through the slime of self-doubt and the dreariest dread, all those nasty old voices that yak in your head. But what if instead you accepted the muck and were sweet to yourself? Now, that wouldn't suck. You could nurture in nature and lull in the bath. and give yourself flowers, a good cry or a laugh. Just let yourself breathe. Now that would be new. And set yourself free to feel red, green, or blue. Because being stuck in the muck and the yuck isn't tragic. It's just how we dragonflies grow our own magic.
That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I still can't believe that it just came through me in one fell swoop.
You know something, I'm not going to share any today, obviously, but I've had those moments where poetry has just come through me, and at times that I didn't understand where it was coming from until much later on. And I think maybe that was similar for you.
Yeah, it was the answer to a prayer. You know, I asked and it came, and then, you know, my job was to create a painting for every one of those stanzas. And again, I had to get out of my head and more into the intuitive flow because my brain couldn't figure it out. But my hands and my heart and my inner muse kept nailing the paintings one after another.
Absolutely. Now, your book is described as a balm for the soul of any woman at any age who finds herself stuck in the muck of change, growth, worry, loss, fear, grief, overwhelm, inertia, exhaustion, or just the mere messiness of life. Now, speaking for my sex, and I think I'm entitled to do that, I thoroughly enjoyed your book. Do you see this reaching out to a male audience too?
I do. I mean, I have had men, like when I speak at speaking events, they say, I relate to that too. And I think that is true. And I certainly don't want to leave any men out. It's just, you know, my marketing background is to be specific with your audience. And I think that the main audience is going to be women. But certainly men go through muck and you know, have a lot of pressure in our society to shove the muck down rather than to allow themselves to go through it. So I think the message is powerful for everybody.
I know many of my male friends, especially in the last few years, have found their hearts being opened, and I think that this would be perfect for them.
Well, then feel free to give them copies.
Oh, thank you. I will. Now, one of your recent blog posts featured on Maria Shriver's site bravely addressed reaching a certain milestone and your approach to it. Please share this with our listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, it's called Breaking Out of the Age Cage. And I just turned 65 in February and was a little freaked out. You know, advertising is a very young person's business. I remember when I was still at the agency when I turned 50, I remember my partner saying, well, you're not going to tell anyone your age, are you? As if it was some, you know, sin. And I remember a woman when I was very young, this accomplished, award-winning, brilliant art director. I think she must have hit late 40s or early 50s, and people called her a hack. Mm. They didn't think she was relevant anymore. So, you know, there was all that conditioning from my background in advertising, but also in our society. I mean, even now, aging men are often called distinguished and aging women often feel diminished. And I was trying to figure out how I want to deal with this. Do I want to just not talk about my age? Or do I want to really put it out there? And I felt that in naming and claiming it and allowing myself to stand for all of who that I am, it was going to help create more of a sense of freedom for myself and for others. You know, I feel like the truth sets us free. And I think it's a big lie in our culture that women become less relevant and less productive and powerful as we get older. And one of the things I talk about in the article was in ancient times, it was the women, the wise women, the medicine women, who were the head of society, and they were honored and revered. And I believe that as the patriarchy grew, sort of the powers that be, the men, were threatened by the power of the older women and diminished and demeaned them. And I feel like many of us do that to ourselves. So my writing that article, I was really scared to do it, but I've never gotten such incredible response. I just was reading something on Facebook today where someone, I believe she's probably 10, 15 years younger than me, she was saying how she's freaking out about whether she should tell her age or not in the advertising industry, and how, you know, there's so much fear. And I think it's a really important conversation to have, and I feel really good that I dealt with it head on and hopefully helped others become ageless and cageless like I'm aspiring to be.
What advice would you offer for women who are concerned about entering their 50s and 60s?
Well, I offer this advice to myself as well. I mean, it's an ongoing conversation. I feel like there's a civil war going on inside of me and all of us, you know, like what I try to do and what I would share with others is when you look in the mirror, see the wisdom in your eyes and the depth of your soul instead of the circles and dark wrinkles underneath. But, you know, that's hard to do. There's a lot of pressure in our society, but I do feel that, like, when women say they feel invisible, I think it's because we've been conditioned to not see our own value. I think everything is an inside job. So the more we value and honor and respect ourselves, the more we receive that from the world. I've been meeting a lot of younger women who I feel like I kind of cross-mentor. They're teaching me a lot about social media, and I'm teaching them a lot about sort of the bigger aspects of conceptual branding. And I don't feel old next to them. You know, I think it is an inside job. And if you're curious and if you're open to learning new things and sharing the truth of who you are, I believe that this can be the beginning, and the beginning of sort of a cultural revolution. There's a lot of articles right now about Judi Dench, Glenn Close, all these women in 70 and above who are turning in powerful performances and sort of shining a light on the depth, maturity, wisdom, and creativity that is at hand at these ages. So, you know, it's not easy. These numbers do numbers on our heads. And, but I think we need to rise up to those voices that keep us down, whether they're in the outside world or our inside world.
You're blessed with your soulmate husband and partner, Will. What advice would you give to partners of the women that we're talking about? What would you tell them to do?
It's interesting, you know, when I had an idea in my head of the man I was supposed to be with, and he was supposed to be taller than me or this or that. And when I met Will, I just felt this connection. I felt like he was my soulmate, but he didn't fit my picture. He was shorter than me. He was entrepreneurial. He didn't have this big, you know, big fat job, whatever. But the thing about him, the minute I met him, was I felt so much myself, and we laughed, you know, like even now, the hardest things we've gone through, we find humor. And I think whatever age you're at, finding your best friend, the person that you can completely be yourself with and talk through anything, that's the greatest gift, because romance, you know, ebbs and flows, comes and goes, but that thread of authentic connection and friendship is what keeps you going, no matter what's happening in your life.
Absolutely. My wife talks about what they call in the romance writers industry, seasoned romance. And I said, honey, is that when you take salt, pepper, and a little paprika and sprinkle it on each other? And she left. So we have that type of relationship too. What's next for Wendy Knox?
What I really love to do is speak primarily to groups of women, but men can come too, and to share my art and my heart and my wisdom. So I'm planning some speaking events where I put my paintings up behind me and share what I call dragon flying lessons to uplift and inspire others. I'm also working on a workbook, an uplifting journal that will go with my book, and I'm planning on creating workshops. And I have another book in mind called The Way of the Dragonfly, and I have so many projects. My challenge is taking one at a time and allowing myself to sort of bask in the joy of where I am. My creative mind moves so fast that I have to constantly try to stay grounded in this present moment.
What would you like readers to take away from Muck to Magic?
Well, my hope and my vision is if you're having a difficult day or feeling really stuck, that it's a book that you'll pick up and go through time and time again. Somebody said it's almost like a meditation. My hope is that as you read this book, it offers hope and encouragement and reminds you of the magic that you are. I feel like with all the muck in the world, it's time for each of us to rise up, to share our true colors and our true magic with the world. And this book, in a very simple way, I believe is a powerful tool for transformation and can remind you of the magic that is growing your muck. No matter how difficult life might feel, I think this book connects you to the fact that if you trust the process, you can find the magic in your muck.
Her book is called From Muck to Magic, An Uplifting Journey. Wendy Knox, please tell our listeners one more time where they can find your book and more about you.
Oh, just go to my website, wendyknox.com, WendiKnox. WendyKnox.com, and you'll find lots of information, a little sneak preview of my book, and more about me, my speaking events, my transformational sessions, more than you ever wanted to know about me. Oh, and my blog. So thank you so much. This was such a fabulous experience.
Wendy, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for this wonderful inspiration. You are an inspiration to your readers and to those who need to hear your message. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.